Yeah, we're almost done with that too.
That's good to hear. Yeah. I'm pretty excited for Easy Army to be an official list builder.
Yeah, and it prints out really nicely.
Mm.
To be honest, I think I like it better than the Kings of War.
Yeah,
just the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
His updates on it.
Well, even I finally subscribed to the Easy Army
yeah.
thing for the annual, and I was poking around the Vanguard one, and even the Vanguard ones are like the cards that yeah. you could get for the you know minis and stuff. So yeah, I'm like, that's really sharp.
Yeah, they stepped it up with Easy Army,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's gonna get a lot more use, especially with Dead Zone.
Yeah,
like sure, there's those hardcore players that are gonna stick with the Excel sheet and.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the way the new book is, and the way it's laid out,
mm-hmm.
you don't even need it, really.
Yeah.
Because you can flip to your army, and it's all right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm playing with this, I can just adjust to the book.
Right.
Because you have two different books now.
Yeah.
So you're not going, okay, this is my army list. Oh, what was that rule? And switching back.
Yeah,
going,
yeah.
Oh, wait.
That was always kind of a hassle.
Yeah. But now that with the separate books, you can have your army out by book form,
mm-hmm.
because you don't need to adjust anything anymore. It's yeah. all in the profiles.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
It is really slick what we've seen so far. Because we might as well start the show. This is Dead
Zone Podcast. Oh, I thought we started.
Talking about secret stuff. I'm Brian.
I'm Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
If you guys didn't know.
So, if you've been living under a rock for the last couple weeks,
you didn't know anything about Dead Zone 3rd Edition.
Dead Zone 3rd Edition has been announced, and it's going to be here in a blink of an eye.
Did you see the new video today?
I did not.
They released another teaser video just for Dead Zone. I don't know if Mantic hired somebody new for their audio and visual and stuff, but the stuff they're putting out has just been on point.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the interview that we just had with Rob Berman, which is a previous episode you guys should go check out. We don't plug our own stuff. What?
Never!
But no, absolutely. Like, the quality of the presentation of their video content has been top-notch.
I absolutely love the Maison newsletters. I love yes. them. I want more of that.
And it's something like you don't think about that really too with like a miniature game company, right? Because it's little people, sometimes plastic, sometimes metal, sometimes resin, you know, what have you. They're just little people. They're little models. But like you can really make that into an eye popping and engaging like video.
Well, yeah. And so the one that they put out today, I mean, the GCPS, they have the artwork, and then all of a sudden the laser blasts are going.
Yeah.
The jet bike is just a picture of the jet bike and the smoke, and then all of a sudden the jet engine pops on, and it looks like it's moving. It's like, wow, they're doing a great job this time. But it's cool that the Mantic is putting that much into the sci-fi stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have the Warpath universe as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and Dreadball is a huge part of that.
Yeah.
Dreadball has had lore for a while,
mm-hmm.
even with his first edition stuff.
Like,
Daria was trying to find the
hard copies of the first edition. Seasons. Yeah,
yeah, because there's a little bit of lore in there. There's a little bit of story in all of those books. And even, like, Dead Zone first edition, there was a ton of lore in there.
Mm-hmm.
Some really cool stuff. Second edition was a little light on it. But as talking to Rob, they bumped up more fluff for us for Dead Zone 3rd Edition. And then you have the Star Saga stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have a whole universe with Star Saga, which created the Maison Labs.
Yeah.
For us, for Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
But Firefight and Warpath released the, what was that book called?
The Source Book.
The Source Book. They had a ton of extra lore. And the fact that they're building on that, and now they throw out these videos and these newsletters, and like they're actually really saying, okay, let's build this.
Yeah,
and they're doing a great job. Plus, you have all of your guys' stories, which
the
writing. I tried, man. I got probably about a page and a half, and went, I don't know what I'm doing.
that's too bad. Like, no, and to be fair, like, I don't lie, I've been struggling a little bit with the story that I've been working on. It's one of those things, like, it's not a complex story, but life stuff has kept me very busy.
Yep.
And so it's like coming down to the wire. By the time this releases, I'll hopefully have it done.
That's good, because it'll be due, by the time this releases, you'll have 1 week until the Michigan GT.
True. There will be the Michigan GT as well. We got a lot of stuff going on.
October's kind of busy.
October's a little busy for us.
Yes.
And and it might even see us finally getting our campaign finale.
Hopefully.
We'll see how
much
we're standing.
Yeah, I mean, it'll have to be Saturday. Maybe Sunday. Or it might be Friday night down here.
Either way.
Because the Dead Zone tournament will be done, so I'll be bringing back all the tournament, all my scenery and stuff. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's enough.
We'll see. Because you're crashing here.
I'm crashing here. And so, no, it's should be a good opportunity for us to get that game in.
Finally.
Yep. 300 points versus
Plague.
Two 150-point lists.
You're gonna eat my plague alive.
Well, we've got some interesting twist to the matchup, because it's not really gonna be 2v1.
No,
per se.
No, it's 1v1, but you're gonna be running two lists
versus one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's three ones,
which will be interesting, because you're bringing Rebs.
And GCPS.
And GCPS. So, I mean, you have that military and that, what would you call them? You're not scavengers, but...
Plucky rebels.
Plucky rebels, sure. I mean, you have organized by, and not so organized, little cells versus this actual corporation, but they're working together.
And it follows the bit of the storyline that we've put together, where the GCPS, they were accosted and viciously...
I did no such thing!
Viciously attacked at their train yard.
Yep.
Where some research from Dr. Simmons had been stolen by the plague. And so the GCPS...
Wasn't stolen? We took it back.
Collect that.
We took it back.
And then the Rebs were present during a Dreadball match.
Yep.
That suddenly the plague decided to attack everybody.
Well.
Which was very uncalled for by many folks.
That game was so fun.
I do think we'll have fun with the finale.
Yes.
But that absolutely was my favorite.
Just
so
the whole
far.
Thing. I mean, the way we set it up, the fact that we had the Dreadball
pitch
set up with a Dead Zone map as well. Using the players as extra scenery pieces and an extra objective marker for you, and the crumbled pieces all over the place. And that game told a story.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that I'm super excited about with third edition, because with the new scenery additions.
Yes.
So the yawnings and the signs and everything. So it makes it like your hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the hospital and the hotel, the apartment kind of thing.
The little HAB units.
Yeah.
And
that'll help create more of a story in our games, which I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah. It is one of those things, definitely having those negotiations with the significant other. it's like, do you really need this? I kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the starter box
is
looking sweet.
I love that they upped the amount of scenery from second edition. Because, I mean, that was the big thing for me going from first edition to second edition.
Mm-hmm.
First edition, you got a metric ton of scenery. Second edition, it went the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And you really didn't have enough to have even to really get a game.
Yeah, to really get a good feel for how terrain impacts
the fact that it's the third player.
Yeah.
Like, with second edition, you had to immediately buy extra scenery.
Mm-hmm.
Which, no problem with that, but, like, it was kind of disheartening. But, third edition, we're getting more scenery.
Yep.
You have the bundle that you can get an additional scenery pack, plus you get the extras.
Yeah.
And of course, the new map.
Mm-hmm.
Much more your line.
Yep. I've always loved that idea of fighting in these cities.
Yeah.
As the event happens, like, as the initial point of dead zoning happens and containment is locked down. Where it still feels very much alive.
It's alive, and there's things going on. And that was one of the things that Rob talked about mm-hmm. on our last episode, was dead zones aren't just the plague anymore.
Yeah.
Which I thought was awesome, the way he set that up for us.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the council just shuts down a city.
Yep.
Because the Rebs are being a pain.
I think it's the Veermen are breaking out of the sewers.
Well, I mean, that's the direction, obviously. For me, that was a huge thing, too, is so, first edition, I got Enforcers and Plague.
Mm-hmm.
Second edition, I got Enforcers again, and I got Forge Fathers, mm-hmm. which was cool.
Yeah.
This time, we're getting two completely new armies.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the factions have been around, but right. we're getting GCPS, which I think is a great core
yeah.
army. When they first came out, we had some players that struggled with them.
Yeah.
Because they didn't play like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You had to adjust your playstyle so much with the GCPS. You just need to overwhelm people with a lot of shots.
Yep.
From everybody.
From everybody.
And then, of course, like Rob was saying, we have the Veermen who are... They've gone through multiple iterations. Like, they're nowhere near what they were in the first, second edition book.
Yeah, yeah.
At all. And now we got... Oh, man, that leader looks so awesome.
The new big giant rat that they showed off. Definitely going to see if I can get some pictures off of the...
And throw them up there.
Throw them up there with the episode.
The new... So, obviously... So, we'll touch on it again, but Overdrive. With Overdrive, you have the two models in that will be coming to Dead Zone.
Yes. The Tigrex and the Shadow? No. Is it Shadow?
Hey, Shadow something or something like that. We'll check it out. It's a new Asterion.
We'll fix it in post.
I'm
not going to re-edit anything. It's just I'll have it in the notes with the right name. We'll put it that way.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
But then you have the, obviously, the starter with the new leader for GCPS and the new leader for the Veermans. She looks really cool.
She looks awesome. Like, almost the whole reason why, like, I have a lot of GCPS already. I have been gearing up to have them as firefight.
Yeah.
It's tricky because with the firefight, they're kind of count in that group of, like, swarm armies.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, so a basic unit, I have to have 20-odd models. And I've been in dead zone so much where it's like, I only need a dozen.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of a staffing up, if you will.
Sure. I think, for me, the starter's doing the same thing. Both the GCPS and the Veermen, I was a little light. I was right on that edge for firefight. But with the starter, this should bump me enough to play both of those. Mm. All the rest of the armies... That count. Oh, yeah, Rebs aren't in firefight. Aw.
Yet.
Actually, you know, I was thinking about that after we got off with our interview with Rob.
Yeah.
It almost would make sense if the Marauders and the Rebs were together.
That would be a good team up.
I mean, because if you look at the source book.
Yeah.
And the Marauders are the whole reason why the Rebs started having cells and started actually fighting back against...
Is that they saw they could.
The Marauders... said, hey, let's go do this. So, to wrap that back, I think that'd be pretty awesome to have the Marauders and the Rebs as a kind of collaboration of a list for a firefight.
No, absolutely. And with the Marauders getting those new hard plastics.
Hard plastic for the Marauders! I can't wait!
I won't lie, I'm starting to better understand the difference of plastics. Like,
yeah.
like, so hard plastic are the ones you often see, like, on sprues, yes. Right? Where you clip off all the pieces because they're, like, mold poured.
Yep.
And then, you know, from there you can really assemble a guy, as opposed to, I think it was Restic.
The Restic, which, as far as I understand, the word Restic is actually a made-up thing.
Yeah, it's some made-up thing.
It's a PVC plastic.
It's a PVC plastic, which would have been, like, old Reb.
Yeah, the models. First edition and second edition, yeah. Older stuff.
Older stuff.
Because they started switching about halfway through second, I guess. Because they brought out new sprues with second edition for the Enforcers.
Enforcers and Forge Fathers.
And the Forge Fathers. Yeah. And then slowly, like, GCPS was new sprues. Mm-hmm. The Starians got new sprues.
Yeah.
I don't think the Veermen really had new sprues.
Mm-hmm.
Just the new stuff that they added.
Yeah. The Star Saga.
The Star Saga expansion. Stuff. And of course, that stuff's based off game, of the board game, so that's more of the PVC style plastic.
Solid single pieces.
But now, with this new stuff, we're getting resin models, we're getting hard plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drop, of course, all the pictures for the Forge Fathers and the Artificers. Yeah. I'm so excited to play Forge Fathers again. Like, I was thinking about that because we were talking to Rob about, what are you playing now? And it's been a while since I played Forge Fathers.
Yeah, same here.
The last time I played Forge Fathers was when we played our Gundam game.
Yep, yep.
Because I had my Iron Nastesser, so...
And I had my GCPS back then.
It might be time to break out and start playing some Forge Fathers. Except for I have my Veermen on the table right now.
and I dare say you'd be able to paint those guys up so as Iron-Blooded Orphans.
I could. I could bring a lot more Iron-Blooded Orphans. Yeah, yeah.
Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
But no, it's like all the announcements with third edition, like everything is very exciting. We talked, and there are some things that are probably more controversial.
Oh, sure.
But that's going to happen with a game as it evolves, both from as a game and as the player base evolves and changes. And the goals ultimately of what the game wants and needs to be.
Yeah.
We talked at length about the line of sight changes.
Which, you know, playtesting it. So obviously a lot of this over the last year has been really hard not to talk about.
Yeah.
But like in playtesting the line of sight myself, I'm like, I don't like this at all. I hate this. Yeah. I struggled with it.
Yeah.
But after I played a couple games and like shut off that second edition mind, I'm like, no, it is what it is. You do the cylinder thing. And actually, it's not really that big of a deal. It's really not.
It's one of those things, and I think I mentioned this when we talked to Rob, where it's, you're already playing it that way. For the most part, you're already doing it. You're just, now you just have a little bit more of a limit of your scope.
Yeah.
And the people that are like, oh, what you... Like, it's leaning and stuff. I'm like, well, then you lean the model.
Yeah,
it's like
pretty much.
If it's to be imagining someone leaning over a corner, so it's like, just tip the model sideways.
That's where you want to put them. That's where you put them.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to be... You can't have them floating in air.
No.
And as of right now, I don't know of anything else in the rule that says you have to have them standing straight.
Yep.
So, yeah, lean it over.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of funny. So, the years and years of us playing,
uh-huh.
you've finally picked up on the hiding the barrel and hiding the foot and the tail of your yindage.
And now it doesn't matter.
Doing all these little tricks that you've been playing against me, and you're finally picking up on it, and all of a sudden they're going to change it back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, huh, well, at least you're still not going to put your Strider out in the middle of nowhere.
So I'm going to put that Strider in the tallest building you can ever find.
So right there.
Yep. Just to show them.
Just to show everybody you don't care.
or to show off the paint job. I don't know.
Well, but, yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah. But no, it's some really exciting changes and things to look forward to.
Hey, my favorite is still the dice. The command dice.
Yeah.
That is without a doubt. So of everything from playtesting to the release to all these hints and everything, to the conversations with Rob, and to what's coming next month in a few weeks.
Yeah.
The dice on the command dice, being able to spin the dice
to reroll.
To reroll. Mm-hmm. Is one of my favorite things about it.
It definitely and like when we talked to Rob, we'll just keep mentioning this.
We will because well, to be fair, that was only last week.
Yeah, for when we recorded that was last week, and by the time this episode comes out, it probably will still be last week.
Last week, yeah.
Taking me a little bit to edit that one up, but no, like the. That's a technique that we've had in Dreadball for a while.
Yeah.
That has been a game changer. Like,
oh, it really has.
That can swing things great for you, or it could still go poorly. But it is that little bit of extra, ooh, could we pull this off? And I think it's a great way to really capitalize on those command dice that don't fit what you need them for that round, because you'll always have dice that don't come, you know, that don't roll your way, and so being able to maybe change that,
yeah,
is a great go-to, and even when you only have one model left on the field and you've got a move and a shoot and a fight dice, it's like, well, I can only use one of these.
And now you can use at least two of them.
Now you can use
maybe all three of them.
Now you because can maybe use all three.
I mean, so it's only one dice,
right,
that you can spend it on. But right, if it's my turn and I have that one model with three command dice,
mm-hmm,
and one happens to be a move, one's a fight, and I'm a shooter,
yeah,
and one's a splat that gives me an extra activation, yeah, yeah, which ain't gonna work.
Yeah, yeah.
I take my turn and I use my move dice, so I've moved, and I use a shoot at you. And I know I can get it better, and I spend the one,
mm-hmm,
to get that reroll, to potentially get that shot, and then you still survive, so it's your turn, and you go to shoot at me, mm-hmm, I can spend that on a reroll with my survive roll.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a perfect example of where that could change some games drastically.
And it goes back to a philosophy that I've talked about on the show with Dead Zone in particular that I've always loved about it is just the how economic it is with the tools that they give you.
Yeah.
Right? So you know, we have 8-sided dice. Well, we use that for rolling successes and everything like that. We can use that for determining direction,
yep,
on a gridded map. You know, using the command dice, you know, not only to, facilitate these extra abilities and things that really change up your play style, but also to you know, now use that as a resource that you can spend in this other unique way. And that's just, it like we talked with Rob, it adds a new level of strategy,
yeah,
in a very simple way. But it opens up a lot of possibilities for, like we said, game-changing events.
It really does, because, I mean, you look at that, you're going up against a Strider with your Forge Fathers. The one, as far as I'm concerned, is still the one character that can still take out a Strider by himself.
The Brocker Chief.
The Brocker Chief is ridiculous.
He could get in there and wreck it.
All of a sudden, you potentially have an additional reroll.
Yeah.
And that...
It's
guaranteed dead Strider.
There are, I like
maybe,
and thinking too, like how many other options are there to do rerolls in Dead Zone? Like there's, I know the
Marauders.
Is it just Marauder?
For what?
For to do rerolls in general, like on eights. I think it's the Roger Sergeant and one of the
Enforcers. Have one. I think Asterians have one.
Asterians might have one.
Or do they have one coming?
Secret stuff.
Dang it.
Don't worry, it'll be here in a month, you guys.
Yeah, there's only a a couple leaders across all 10 factions.
And it is a splat.
It's a splat that gives you that ability. Like, the Stuart Defender, I think is that... No, that's the one that ups your armor.
One ups armor. Is it the Enforcer Sergeant?
It might be him. That allows you to reroll on a survive.
We don't have the book in front of us.
Yeah, no book in front of us, but there's a couple different ones have that ability to reroll.
Yeah, but it's few and far between. And so now having that flexibility and that possibility for...
This gives you players. A reroll on a mortar shot.
It does, doesn't it? That's kind of nice.
And now I'm scared of GCBS.
I wonder if that's going to be FAQ'd pretty quick.
Nah. Why would it?
That's fair.
I mean, it's a reroll.
It's a reroll.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's, now it's when you have to have...
It's unmodified. It might...
That's not modifying it, though.
It's not modifying
the roll. It's not modifying the roll.
The roll count. Because that was always the thing with
because with the mortar is, okay, you can't see the cube, so...
No, it's two.
You got to have two successes.
Yeah.
You roll, one's a fail. Well, I don't need this shoot dice. Because I really need this mortar to hit. You have the chance to reroll.
No, that's so, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Well, I am a Marauder player. I like my mortars. And plague.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's totally going to add a different part to the landscape. And it's such a subtle change. I mean, it's nothing fancy.
No.
And that's what I've really liked about what they're doing and what they've released so far for 3rd edition. And it's kind of like what they did with Kings of War with 3rd edition. Mm-hmm. They just cleaned it up, added a little tweak here and there, and here's your new edition. Mm-hmm. And it's almost exactly what we're getting. Plus, Rob said we're getting more lore in the main book. Okay.
What's not to love there?
Yeah.
We've been teased with so many new things. Like, the GCPS in particular, like, some of the models that we've seen.
The new ones with the shields.
The new ones with the shields.
And the robots.
And the robots.
I think the reason why I like the robots so much is because they actually look like the new AI robots that have been, like, that are real.
Yeah, yeah.
They have that same look.
That dance around?
Yeah, the dancing video. Like, but it's the same thing. It's that all of a sudden you have something in this game that you can actually recognize.
It's like that spectral dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun movie. Go check it out. It's like,
Spectre was fun. I was not expecting to see the Enforcer's dog in that movie, but it was there.
Yep. It's a good one. That would be a fun faction to have in Dead Zone. Ghosts.
Ooh. Well,
teleport and indirect and psychic.
Stealth.
Stealth. Yeah.
God, screw stealth. I don't like stealth.
I forget who we were talking to, thought it'd be really neat with the GCPS, because it sounds like the one thing they might be doing with that force is expanding it just a little bit beyond humans only.
Yeah.
And which makes sense. Like, GCPS totally will be conscripting different species into their service. Heartbeat. Yeah. And so that it would be an interesting possibility if we see more of the species, like, Rebs have kind of been the go-to to introduce
new species. Yeah.
But, like, with that possibility, like, if GCPS had, I was talking with Adam, maybe, like, the Adelorana.
Oh, yeah.
The ghosty people.
Have all these extra people randomly show up.
Yeah. And then Golden the Gamer, I remember in one of his podcasts, when he was brainstorming story ideas, he talked about, like, how neat would it be to have the Crystallins, like, stumble into a meeting with, like, the Forge Fathers talking to, like, the GCPS or something like that.
So that would be weird because
they hate the Forge Fathers.
They hate the Forge Fathers, but they're not really super big fans of the GCPS.
Yeah.
So which one do you go towards? Like, That's actually a really cool story. Right? Why aren't you writing that?
Because the theme was damsel. Well, we'll see how the last the topic goes.
Yeah.
I'll get my story done, guys. Gotta get it done first, though.
It's cool. So now you have, with them kind of slightly expanding the GCPS and looking at these outside characters that they're going to bring in, and the Rebs, and then Maison Labs. So you have three very distinct factions that can easily bring in these other races.
Mm-hmm.
And have it be part of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously your enforcers, I mean, no, you don't want to add to that. Because right. The enforcers are
they're top kind of
secret, medically modified by the Council of Seven. So don't mess with that.
It'd be interesting to see. So, like, one thing in the enforcer lore is how, like, they get, like, the nanomachine yep. injections and stuff like that. And they talk about some of the early trials of that.
Have those stop popping up in Maison Labs.
Or as, like, rampaging enforcers.
Oh, God, that would be intense.
Right?
A rampaging peacekeeper?
That maybe is mutated a little bit. So, but
a little off the rail.
Little off sure. the rail.
Maybe. I think I'd rather see that in a different faction, though.
That's
like funny. I would rather see that in the Marauders faction.
Yeah.
Just because, so he's all jacked up. He's got his arm's a little bit longer than his other arm, or he's got a twitch to him, but he's huge.
Enforcers injected with nanomachines, Marauders injected with nanomachines.
Well, yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
Marauders in peacekeeper armor. They like stealing that.
They do
weapons and ammo.
But that's also that whole, I don't know, looking at the hint on the new plastics for the Marauders. Yeah, I still love Mantic Marauders.
I do too.
They're my favorite orcs.
I've been in the process, like, trying to expand my collection of 3D models to print and stuff like that. And I have started looking at, like, okay, I want, because as of right now, the Marauder selection is a little slim.
Sure.
And so it was like, I'd love to have like a different, like a plastic, Sky Razor.
Oh yeah. The Sky Razors.
Yeah. No. The ones in the jump packs. Cause normally
Sky Razors are Asterians.
I think that's Asterians. Chief Malacca.
Chief Malacca. That bugs me cause I have like four of them.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go find a book.
Because that it's a metal model that's tall that needs to sit on a very tiny base. And so that's always been the thing for me. I'm like, I'd love to have that model.
It's horrible that we don't know what this model is.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Skyscraper.
I think I said that, but...
Did you?
We second-guessed it.
I thought you said Sky Razor.
I said both.
Okay.
I'm like, is it Sky Razor?
Well, it's Sky Razor and Skyscraper. So, I mean, we have Asterians and we have Marauders. We got this.
Yeah. We run a podcast called Dead Zone. We know about this game.
We totally know.
Probably.
Maybe.
That was one thing I've been kind of keeping an eye out for.
Sure.
It'd be nice to have a plastic one that I could do something a little bit more.
That you can modify the way it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's hard to find non-GW orcs, to be sure.
Papsicles, Patreon.
They do have, yeah, that's right.
He's got some really cool...
they have some, like, commando slash
it's
predator.
It's cool, because, yeah, that's essentially what his orcs look like. I mean, they look like they're right out of the Predator movie.
Yeah.
And it's the Predator heroes.
Yeah.
But they're orcs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're pretty cool. As far as looking for that extra model to play with your Marauders and kind of change up the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the things, begrudgingly, I like about the Reps.
Yeah.
You have so many different model options.
Yeah.
Admitted, I will prefer my Plague, but... but it's that large pile of, ooh, what do I want to build? But at the same time, I mean, you look at our playgroup and Mantic as a whole when it comes to their games. Sure, play with a proxy as long as it makes sense to your opponent. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think as a TO for Dead Zone, and you'd probably say the same thing about Dreadball, is that if it makes sense and like you can see, why not?
Yeah,
have some fun with it.
Because
well, it's Dead Zone, it's Dreadball, and we just want to play the game.
And at the end of the day, it's all about the fun.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
In our defense, we have a lot of Mantic.
I could play a firefight with every faction except for Maison Labs and...
Well, Maison Labs doesn't have
a
firefight list.
Sorry. Well, and neither does Rebs, but so Rebs, GCPS, and
If you were to have a list.
If I were to have a list, those are the only three armies, because I have enough of Maison Labs, actually. but it's still, we have all these.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, we're not taking away from Mantic by using 3D printed models, or grabbing that model from another game, saying, yeah, we want this model in there. It's more about creating our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what everybody should be doing with their Dead Zone games anyways.
Yeah.
And their Dreadball games.
Mm-hmm.
And their Star Saga games.
Yeah.
Well, Star Saga kind of has... Oh, did you see that post?
Which one?
The,
There's a lot of posts that come through the
Fanatic. There's a lot of posts that come through on us.
I'll just say, yeah. Oh, yeah, that one.
Yes.
I know.
Over on Star Saga.
Yeah.
A guy posted... his campaign.
Ooh.
With everything, like he redid the maps, like a whole story. It's huge, dude.
I need to check this out.
See if I can find it real quick, because I know I downloaded it.
If you can find it before Rick, send a message to the Facebook group to say we found this Star Saga thing before Rick did.
Which doesn't take much, because yeah. But yeah, I'll pull that out and link it to
you.
We'll put it
in the show notes.
So he did all the characters, he did the maps, he used all of the... So you have to have at least the core game.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple pieces that he made unique. But he also added in the downloaded file a printable version of those pieces that you can print off and make it. And he did a whole story.
You could do that with cardboard, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Paper and cardboard.
Yeah, totally getting sidetracked with Star Saga because, well, Maison Labs, and it makes sense where my head goes.
It
really does.
It makes sense. It's good for us to talk about Star Saga. It doesn't get as much airtime for.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard because it's a board game.
Yeah.
It's got a living universe
mm-hmm.
because you have the character creator and
you
can do these things, but it's a board game.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't
get
as much.
It requires a number of people to play.
Yeah. I mean, you can play it by yourself.
True.
Or you can have two people and play it. It still doesn't have that same...
It is something where there is that part of me, like, because it's a little trickier for us to get together to play games, and what we do, it's like, all right, we're going to play some Dead Zone or we're going to play some Dreadball. Star Saga kind of gets a little bit of the back burner on that front just because it's just a different kind of commitment, and
one little favor. I knew I'd find it.
One little favor.
Check this out.
Ooh.
Like he went... This guy went through and did everything.
That is sweet looking.
This is dedication, and I absolutely love it.
Listeners at home can't see this, but Rick is scrolling through over... I'm going to try to see if I can get the page count all the way. 46 pages.
And here's the... So he also added vehicles.
Gotcha. Okay.
That he just did in little cubes. So you still have... Like, he added all this stuff, and it's phenomenal. Like,
no, this is awesome.
This is probably somebody we ought to talk to.
Yes.
He did all the Marauders.
If if you design this, we're going to reach out to you regardless, but if
Christian Fisher.
Christian Fisher, if you would like to be a guest spot on a Dead Zone the Podcast episode, let us know.
Screw that, I'm sending him a message now.
You're about to get a message. This is happening to you in the past, but for our listeners, it's happening in the present. How does that work out?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, we're recording this podcast, and I'm sending a text message to this guy about
this
potentially podcast.
But no, I've actually been kind of playing around with the idea of, like, it would be kind of fun, because I've been chomping at the bit to really find out the full story of the Star Saga games. It's just hard for us to play them. So
there is
that part of me that might actually go and play through them solo.
Play through the solo, and
because I don't want to just read the book.
No, you have to have the experience of playing the game. It's not this. It would be like choosing picking up a choose your own adventure book. And just reading the last page of each of them,
just figuring out where the end is,
that's
any
not
fun?
Any fun?
Yeah, no, need to paint up the rest of the heroes because I did the core box.
Yeah,
I
did, and then traded it.
I also need to do the rest of the scenery because I did the terminals, and then I primed a lot of other stuff, but I never got around to really painting it in the way I like. But. Speaking of that, we've been painting a heck of a lot of stuff, terrain.
Scenery
for
Michigan GT.
The Michigan GT coming up in a couple weeks.
So actually it'll be like one week when this one releases.
Just about.
Yeah, I mean, so it was fun for me because I was we've always had plenty of scenery.
Yeah.
But we never really did the paint a whole table to have a specific look.
Yeah.
We painted some scenery and just grabbed some pieces and put it out there. So it was really fun to actually take it in.
Kind of have that uniform.
Have a uniform for each table.
Yeah, I had a couple of things, because you had a number of tables, like, ready to go.
Well, I had them ready to go, but they weren't painted.
And then you had to work on painting. I had about a table and a half's worth, including my uncertain scenery, which again,
yes,
really, really solid for a Dead Zone game.
It really is. Unfortunately, with the tables that I put together, I'm only using one piece. But
I'll make up for it. I'm bringing five.
Perfect. because I also want to do the scenery that I want to paint it.
Yeah.
And I want to take some more time with it because, like, so looking at how much uncertain scenery I have 2.5 tables worth of 2 5-foot area.
Yeah.
So I could almost...
You could run this tournament on uncertain scenery.
I could. Because I have the roadway, and I have the section, and I have a couple other different pieces.
Yeah.
What I need to do is I need to get three or four more pieces of the roadway.
Gotcha.
Two or three pieces of the roadway, or I think it's three, but I could have a 6x4 of all uncertain scenery.
That'd be a fun board.
Right? Throw some vehicles on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that kind of got me thinking about it with Dead Zone 3rd Edition and Firefight on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
2nd Edition Firefight. So we're going to have this living world with Dead Zone 3rd Edition giving us Dead Zones happening on not just planetary systems.
Getting more into the inner spheres.
So we can actually build essentially a city.
Yep.
And have a huge game. To be fair, I mean, it could be one of those games that we go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
We start at Warpath.
Yeah.
And then go to Firefight, and then go to Dead Zone, and then go to Star Saga. And play Dreadball on the side.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, there's
meanwhile.
So getting scenery ready for Michigan GT, because I'm on all kinds of tangents today.
No, it's
maybe it's because I haven't played a game.
You're like, I need my fix.
I need my fix.
But, like, in front of me, you got a lot of the industrial pack and everything like that.
The industrial pack, I got to finish that. So, essentially, what I have left to paint is tokens and scatter terrain.
Yeah.
So, I have it all primed. I have a color picked out for a couple of the boxes. So, I'll have it all done, but it's still going to match the scenery pieces that I have for the tables.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've been printing...
Yeah, so
items.
I found this great, and I'm gonna link this one in the
definitely
show notes too.
Definitely link that one.
On Thinaverse, a guy, and I should probably just bring up the page if I can get it on hand real quick. Like I said, this will be in the show notes. But has done like he's done Dead Zone style scenery.
Yeah.
Kits where it's like the wall sidings and stuff like that. And he's done a number of them. He has his own kind of unique lock system for them. They kind of come with like a little stand to fit them on. And then he does have holes in them that should fit Dead Zone clips.
But they need to be a little trimmed, right?
I don't know if the FDM, like my FDM settings, were great for them because I think the heat just caused the holes to seal up a little bit. But all that said, so he's got a bunch of different styles of walls. Like he has one that's like a big hospital cross,
which is perfect for the stuff that you have.
He has a landing pad, which is one
thing
that
you showed me.
I printed that one. So, if you want to do the landing pad with Dead Zone, with the Dead Zone kit, it's a number of pieces.
Sure.
Like, you're looking at, like, four for the center, and then, depending on how big you're making.
Well, yeah, depending on how big you make the... Because the landing pad for the Mantic scenery landing pad is... What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4...
Is it just 69. One cube in the center, or is it is it a four?
So the actual landing pad is...
It's been a while since I've seen it.
It's nine.
Nine, okay.
It's like seven and nine because you have the half pieces in the corner
mm-hmm.
to give it that octagon look.
Yeah, yeah. And so, of course, I saved these a while ago, and Thingiverse isn't great on searching for things. I think this is it. Yeah. This is from Dan Batch on Thingiverse.
Oh, wow.
And one other really neat thing that he's done is he's done double pieces. So rather than one single piece, it's a one contiguous thing. And so his landing pad is actually four squares in the center. And then around it is two wide and then a corner.
So it's about the same size then.
I think it's about twice as big then. Because it's not nine, it's...
Oh.
Yeah.
It's like half a board size.
Yeah, it's like half a board size. Let me see if I can bring this up so I can show Rick what I'm talking about. There it is. Like... Oh, of course. It jumps to the wrong picture of it. And it's kitted out to be...
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's a big...
That thing's huge. That's awesome.
And the pieces of it, too, so you can have that center, which is four pieces, essentially, as one piece. And then these sides, this is a triple piece. So this is one, this is one, one, this is one, yeah. This is one.
And that's how you printed it?
And that's how I printed it.
Yeah.
So... It's in five pieces as opposed to like a dozen.
A dozen pieces, yeah.
That's
pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. I need to give it a little bit more support, but
I'm gonna have to add that to my file of stuff I'll never get to for printing. but that's also really cool because so now you have Mantic scenery, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Which we have a ton of. You have the Isolation Protocols Kickstarter that came out.
Yeah.
That had a ton of scenery that was pretty much Dead Zone.
Yeah.
You have this guy's stuff. What was his name again?
This is Dan Batch.
Dan Batch, over on Thingiverse.
Mm-hmm. And this came out in July of this year. So
this is...
He's active and making some stuff. But one of the other things I wanted to highlight that I've been working on is that he's also made a Dead Zone token set. Now, this is basically 3D printable tokens.
So this looks almost identical, and it's convenient because I have it in front of me. It looks exactly like the first edition token set.
Yep. They're a little bit bigger, and they don't open. It's actually just open. One side is the grid side, and one side is the symbol.
Okay.
And so I recommend if you get this set to, I basically printed them in half.
Oh, that makes sense.
Basically, to do that, if you aren't going to do 3D modeling, which is fine, you basically just lower them about...
Just underneath the build
minus
plate.
-10, and -10 with it flipped upside down, and next to each other, and they print, and then you basically just glue them back together.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
On the flip side. They look sharp.
Yeah.
And he's got a full set. Like, I've now printed a full pack of these things for the Michigan GT. I've got them primed. And so now I'm figuring out, it's like, what color do I print kind of the box size of it? I've been leaning towards like a red stripe.
Yeah.
You know, it's very simple color scheme. I want this thing to pop against the scenery. But he also has just the tokens in general. So like the blood splatters from wounds.
That's awesome.
They've got the little round icons to carry. Like, okay, this guy's got ammo. Yeah. So he's not hauling around this big crate.
Well, you know.
And even like victory points 1 through 5. So it's a neat little set. Very, very easy to print. Especially if your printer is tuned better. Apparently? My printer has been giving me issues. Yeah. It has a lot less to do with the design.
Yeah.
But no, definitely check these out. If you have 3D printers or friends that like to 3D print that are into Dead Zone, these are a neat
little way. I'm going to definitely have to check this out because I love tokens.
Yes. No, these are really cool. And so that's been on my printing docket. I've got a handful of buildings that I threw together, just some really simple cube shaped ones. I realized like, I don't have a lot of ruined scenery because
I wonder why. Because you also gave me some of the stuff that you had for ruined scenery.
I did give you a bunch, but it was one of those things where like I went really hard into the full complete pieces.
Yes.
So I have a lot of that.
Well.
And then I was like, okay, if I want to make this board a little different, I want to have it where one of those buildings had a shot come through it.
Oh, sure.
So that's kind of where that one is at. But so I got a handful of buildings I'm putting together on top of these tokens. And so that's my... not my only prep for Michigan GT, because I'm playing
Kings of War. Well, no, because you're playing in Kings of War. So you're playing in Dead Zone?
Yes.
You're running Dreadball.
Yes.
And you're playing in Kings of War.
Yes.
There's a reason why you're staying on my couch. Yes. You're going to be kind of busy.
I'm going to be a little busy.
Hey, everybody. John Jack here from Dreadball. Commercials, you've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
But I have been really excited for Kings of War. I have not played 3rd edition yet.
Okay.
And so this will be my first time playing 3rd edition. Hope my opponents are, I won't say kind, because like it's still a competition.
What do you mean? You know you're going to get Sportsman.
I will not confirm or deny if I get the Sportsman. I'm going to go and have fun.
But that's what we always do when we play.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because actually last night, Countercharge, they do a live thing on their Facebook channel. And they were talking about Sportsmen and the way they do Sportsmen. And I was thinking about kind of the way we do Sportsmen. Sportsmen is kind of one of those things where it's a popularity contest for some. Some people, because of the way they play, they feel they'll never win it.
Yeah.
Which I think is the wrong mindset to have. I think if you go into these games to have fun, yes, it's a tournament. Obviously, you want to win.
Right.
But if you want to win and have fun, because that's the whole point of these games. I mean, we're not playing...
This isn't Russian roulette.
Yeah! I was trying to figure out a nice way to say that. Russian roulette. Because, yeah, I mean, we're there to hang out and have fun. And that's what I've always loved about the tournaments the two of us have ran.
Mm-hmm.
And the games we played, it's just for fun. Let's play the game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who wins. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who loses. Did you have fun? Yes!
Awesome.
I think we talked about this a couple podcasts before, but I think there's only one game that we've played of Dead Zone that it was disappointing because it ended too fast.
It ended, and
that was nothing else. I mean, it was still almost a 45-minute long game, but...
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, well, I guess it's done now. Man, I want more of that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's that... They were talking a lot about that whole sportsman thing, and I think really... For us, at least, when it comes to our games, it's let's have some fun. So that one maybe we'll actually edit
out. might edit that part.
But, yeah, I mean, have some fun with these games. And that's why I'm excited about the Michigan GT, is we're going to have Dead Zone, Dreadball. I'm not going to be any part of the Kings of War because, unfortunately, Saturday I'm working.
Yeah.
And then after, but I am playing in the Dreadball tournament.
Yes.
So... I'm ready to get my butt kicked. obviously, before you leave today, after we close off the recording, we need to make sure I have the right things.
Gotcha. Yeah. Will do. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's been really kind of neat to be prepping for this event. It's one of those things where we kind of think like, oh, you know, because we play a lot of one-off games and everything, we'll get together with a bunch of people and we'll have enough tables and stuff. And then it's like, oh, this is a tournament. It's like, oh, we probably need to have...
Yeah.
We have to get this...
A little bit more than we thought.
My wife asked me, is like, wait, so why are you painting more? Why do you need more painted? Like, you painted a lot. Like, but I need more painted. I love you. I know you probably don't listen.
I think that's the thing for both of us.
Is, yeah.
Like, wait, you're doing what? Because Valerie did almost the exact same thing with all this stuff, because I had it all on the...
Oh, yeah.
On the deck. She's like, more? But you just finished that. No.
It never ends. This is the secret of all Wargamers.
Yes. It never ends.
But not in a bad way.
No.
Hopefully.
Not really. And it's funny, because, like, my scenery has actually gone down from what I used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some new players coming in, I've given them extra. Like, it was my nephew. Of course, I'm going to give him extra. Yeah. But that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have a ton of printed isolation protocols. That's all at Evo.
Right.
I didn't even add that into my building the tables for the Michigan GT because honestly, I'd forgotten after I figured out and contacted you about the extra two tables, and I'm like, oh, I have enough for two more tables. It's a little late in the game to paint that stuff.
That's all right. But no, it's going to be... I'm really excited for the event.
What are you playing Friday night?
You know, I'm still kind of going back and forth on this.
Yeah?
I've got three different forces in mind.
Okay.
So...
Rebs.
GCPS.
Marauders.
Marauders.
How did I know? It's almost like I've played you before.
And you know that those are like some of the few places, the guys I've actually got painted up.
Yeah.
But no, I really... Because obviously I'm going to have my Rebs.
Of course.
And I'm obviously going to have my GCPS because I need them
later. Yes.
So the question is, like I do have, I have put together lists for each one.
Yeah.
And it really is just kind of coming down to, okay, which do I think is going to be more fun to play? Because I played Rebs a lot.
Yep.
I like playing Rebs. And I will keep playing Rebs. Nothing will stop me. But it is fun to...
Switch it out,
you know, for the Rebellion's sake, to learn from my opponent by becoming my opponent.
Guess I'm not playing Marauders anymore. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. With hard plastic, yeah.
Hard plastics and hopefully some goblins.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully.
You never know.
More goblins. but no, it's yeah, I haven't decided. I got a little time left.
A little time left. Do you have any more work to do on Kings of War? Kings of War elves?
I actually just have to paint trays.
Oh, okay.
Which in my case, I still have some. So like back when I was first starting to paint my elves, I'd gotten a spray paint of green.
Yep.
Thinking is like, this would be great to do as a base primer because I was going to do a green, a MSU Spartan theme of green and white and whatnot. But the green just so happened it was not a matte finish. It was a
gloss.
Semi-gloss.
Oh, semi-gloss.
Yeah. And so it's like, man, I've got this can of like spray paint that's practically full. What am I going to use it on? And I did a test one of I've been printing movement trays.
Sure.
That are set up for the that have squares in them.
Oh. Nice.
And actually they also have little things in the back for wound dice.
Oh, I know the prints that you're talking about
there. Yeah, it's like the ultimate it's called the ultimate like movement tray pack or something like that. Really nice. Like that was what I was looking for with movement trays. Is like, I need something to keep these guys on. Because I'm not that into multi-basing.
Yeah.
If only for the storage factor.
Yeah, it does take up a lot when you multi-base.
It takes up a lot when you multi-base. And I still like playing Vanguard.
Well, yeah.
So I like to take my minis off of that. So these movement trays have slots for the different sized units, and I've got 3 left to print, and because my printer's being stubborn with me, it's taken a little bit, but thankfully, once those are printed, it's
done.
Cool. So I did finish painting. I did have to add a couple of units to my force because of third edition.
Yeah.
I've been scouring.
Yeah, kind of changed up a little bit.
-28.org.
Yep.
Is a great resource.
Countercharge. We're talking about them too.
Yep. Countercharge and -28. They did great write ups on force building for the different units and models. Really helped me understand the changes and how they impact things. Elves in particular took kind of a hit. In that their ranged...
Just a little.
Their ranged ability kind of got the Nerf hammer.
Oh, darn.
And it's a controversial one that everyone's complained about, to be sure. And I can get behind that a little bit. I like my shooty elves. But they... I won't talk too much about this because it's a different game. But I did have to paint up a couple more guys. 3D printed a couple of things.
Some drakes
that worked. Kind of surprised how well they turned out as an FDM print. Also, I think in the future I will go with resin for them.
Yeah.
Just because when I started applying paints, especially to the underside of these, very detailed.
Yeah. And you lose a lot of that detail with FDM.
Yeah.
You just do.
And it's they kind of have some of that veining going on just because of the nature of how it prints. But I've been like, it's been neat to get back into the fantasy side a little bit. Been out of it for a while.
Well, yeah.
For a number of reasons, but because, you know, the sci-fi is a very strong draw.
It's very strong. Yeah. Especially for us.
Yeah. But excited for that. Probably going to keep painting up some other Dead Zone stuff.
There you go.
I've painted up a couple of vehicles.
Oh, right on.
That for scatter.
For actually. Scatter. Well, that's the great thing about the vehicles, too, is they make great scatter.
Yeah.
And they definitely blocks some line of sight.
Yeah, yeah. So until I get myself some official Mantic vehicles, I'm like, all right, I'll 3D print a couple of these things just to throw on the board. But no, it's a fun time. And yeah, if you're in the Lansing area, come and check out the Michigan GT and say hi to us.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, you could also check out the GT and just ignore us completely, awkwardly, maybe. Like, you'll see us.
It would be awkward if you're one of our listeners and you ignored us.
A little bit. If we knew you, and, like, we know you
listen. It's kind of like if John Jack shows up on Saturday and ignores just, us.
Yeah.
That's going to be awkward.
While he's doing Overdrive demos or something like that. Dude, Overdrive is going to be there.
Yes, Overdrive. I got my notification today that my pre-order is on its way. And I did nice. Get the stupid tiger. I know it's a Rebs, but I got it.
I mean, I'll take it off your hands if you...
No!
But,
yes, I'm super excited to get into that.
Gonna see Community Pat is gonna be coming by. They, as of this recording, they're just finishing up
Gen Con. I was just reading a post from Brian Wade, as a path, he's one of the other Pathfinders, that they were at Gen Con.
Yeah.
He posted his swag from Gen Con. It was kind of smaller than he usually gets.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of amusing, but it sounded like they had a lot of fun at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
So then they get a couple weeks of rest.
And then they come on over to Michigan. So it's going to be a really fun time. It's always nice to have, like, a Mantic shop.
Yes.
To get Mantic stuff.
I'm afraid.
It's dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
I need to discuss a budget ahead of
time. Yeah, both of us need to have budget conversations with our bosses.
Yes, because Overdrive is definitely high on this list.
Yes.
But, like I said, I 3D printed some stuff for my Kings of War that I would... Like, that was a big thing for me with my Elf army,
because
I really pushed to have that 100% Mantic.
Yeah.
And so for my 3D printed stuff, I put Mantic elves on them.
That's perfect.
So it kind of counts. But I'd love to flesh that out a bit more.
Flesh that out.
I'm not sure what else is going to be there. I'm just excited for all of it.
I know that I think TT Combat's going to be there again.
Mm.
I'm not 100% sure on that one. But some of the local stores and some of the stores that are outside of our area will be there.
Gotcha.
With their inventory, plus Badger is usually there.
Yeah.
So if you just finally decided if you're going to do airbrushing,
that might be a little out of the budget yet.
You might want to wait until Adepticon for that one.
Yeah.
Because they usually do really good deals at Adepticon.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So probably next month. I know that we want to get Tyler Schultz on here.
Yes.
Tyler Shorts has totally popped back up.
Yep.
His excitement, of course, is very catching.
Yes. The Dreadpath Zone on YouTube. It's one of our regular footer, friends of the show that we include. He's a fun guy.
You know, it's funny because it's outside of looking for the Dead Zone when I first got into it. Coach and family of Gamer 777. Rob and Jack on Dead Zone the podcast, and Tyler with Dreadpath Zone. Those are the reasons why I played Dead Zone.
Yeah.
That's why I continued playing Dead Zone. That's why I became a Pathfinder. That's how we ended up meeting, realistically, is because of them. It's super excited to see him finally put Kings of War off to the side, because he's been huge in Kings of War.
He's been, he never left Mantic.
He didn't disappear, he just went to the dark side.
He just changed games for a little bit. The stuff he did was awesome. He did like a what you call it, the Terracotta Warrior themed army.
That thing was amazing.
So, but it's great to have him back over in the Dead Zone side of things. Maybe we'll even get some Dreadball out of him as well. But no, it's exciting to see. The excitement around 3rd edition is contagious. Containment protocols for contagion.
Leave it to us to say things like that.
Yeah.
Or you.
Yes, probably. But yeah, the Facebook groups have been exploding. We've seen so many people coming up interested in the game. They've been hearing about it. I think there's been a great push to get this out in front of people. And I think I know I mentioned, like, when we talked to Rob, like, with the announcement being like, and this thing is coming out in a month.
Retail.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yep.
That's people are gonna, they're excited for it now. That excitement is gonna, persist into the end of October.
So we'll definitely get Tyler on here to talk about his side of things.
Yeah.
And what he thinks. As usual, we record towards the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll be able to record after I've already done some demos. Because I have two demos already set up. October 21st here in Lansing at Evolution Games. And then October 22nd, I'm going to Grand Rapids to play at a new store.
Gotcha.
Because of players in the Facebook group.
Oh, nice.
Reached out and said, hey.
We need somebody.
Any chance you'd be willing to play in Grand Rapids? And I'm like, yes! Like, I was super stoked to do it, and I set it up immediately. Yeah. So that'll be fun, too.
I'm going to probably be getting my own demos set up in the near future. Unfortunately, that weekend, I'm already previously booked.
Yep.
Got some family coming over from Wisconsin to visit. And and unfortunately, the two stores that are closest to me, again, I'm smack dab 10 minutes away from two of the biggest game stores in the area.
Yeah, still not doing an in-person
game. Still not doing an in-person game. I did speak to them, and they're open for me to do demos.
Awesome. And that's what matters.
And soon as they're open for play. But there is a shop that I never got a chance to demo at called Upkeep Games in Howell, in Howell, Michigan. They just moved to a bigger space. They're actually going to be at the Michigan GT.
Awesome.
And so, and I just so happened one time when I was there, I noticed there was a Dreadball Kickstarter. So I'm like, someone has kept an eye on Mantic in this area, but maybe didn't find players. I'm going to hit up that store. They have in-store play.
Cool.
So I'm going to get a demo scheduled around there.
Awesome. So obviously next month we're going to be talking a lot about Dead Zone still.
Yes.
But we will also be talking about Overdrive.
Yes.
Because obviously I will have my copy by then. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping we'll at least get a game in. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can get a game in with John Jack.
That would be sweet.
During the GT. Mm-hmm. Just because. We can.
We can. We'll be there.
Because he said he was going to bring his stuff.
Yeah.
Overdrive and Dead Zone 3rd edition next month is definitely going to be all over our topics.
October's going to be awesome.
October's busy.
It's very busy.
Which is funny because it's also the busiest month for my job.
I need to see if I just happen to see that shark costume again. I think I'm going to get it this time.
Oh, yeah. Get it.
So, those that don't know, is I a while back I had spotted a hammerhead shark costume at our local Meijer. And I was like, this would be perfect for a Sphere cosplay. Because I'm that kind of guy. And
I still think we need to do some kind of cosplay for
Adepticon.
Even if it's as simple as you showing up as a Reb. Find you a trench coat.
Paint yourself green.
Could be a Marauder. That's a lot of work.
Well, if you
paint... Because that would be you guys in the hotel room painting me every morning.
If it'd just be like... Just the next, and you could do the stocking thing.
Oh, that'd be hot.
Yeah, you would overheat. Never mind.
No, that's not for me.
Especially at Adepticon. So
we'll figure out some.
Right into the show what should we cosplay as?
That's no fair. Because everybody's going to be really nice and tell you to go as something real, really simple, like a Reb soldier.
Wearing a duster and having some goggles. Simple. Ski goggles.
It's not like, oh, Rick should be a nameless. What?
you could purple up your beard a little bit so it's like it's tentacles. Just do a multicolored thing.
Do them in a couple braids.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No.
Project, Project Oberon over here. You get to wear a hoodie. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah. Again, a hoodie.
Yeah.
No.
So I think that's a really good wrap on what turns out this is episode 124
Woo!
Of Dead Zone the podcast. Which brings a wrap on season two for
season
us.
Season two for
this
us.
This has been
so this
the
will be
second,
our second year.
Year.
Yeah.
So
holy crap!
Wow. And
I have no desire to stop.
Yes. I don't see us slowing down at all. The pace always seems to keep ramping up. So.
Yeah, and every time that we think that it's like, okay, this is gonna be kind of a chill month. Nope. Here we go.
We always pick up one of these things again and go, let's do this.
Yeah.
Love these games.
Yeah, I really do.
So with that, have a good night, everybody.
No goodbye for me.
No goodbye for you.
I'm still trying to figure out Dreadball, man.
Oh, yeah. We should probably look at that.
So that's the whole time. We're ending the podcast, and I'm going, what do I need to have?
Oh, yeah.
What do I need to paint? Because I don't think I need to paint.